Good morning. Thank you all for joining us on this. I know it's been a wintry Sunday, but I'm glad that we could all have this time together to worship and praise God together. And we'll keep those people who are unable to make it with us in worship today in our prayers. A few announcements before we get started. A mission meeting at 1:30 is going to take place at Fellowship Hall. For those interested in a 2018 summer mission trip, it will be hosted by the Reverend Daryl Johnson, who is the pastor at Janaden Hut. A great opportunity to think about if you want to serve your church. I know Alicia and Doug had the opportunity to go to New York. They're good people to talk to if you have any questions. It's really an open forum. You don't have to commit to anything. It's just if you're interested. The meeting could be anywhere from, I've heard, Alaska to Texas. So there's a lot of opportunities out there and a chance to voice your interest in mission. A busy day in the life of the Moravian Church. We're all invited to a Moravian Bowling Bash, which is taking 6 to 9 at Wabash Lanes in New Philly. $10 per person, unlimited bowling. This is their fourth annual youth bowling event. A great opportunity for our young people to get out and come together and get out of the house during this cold season and just enjoy some fellowship. And just a reminder, there will be no Second Sunday cinema tonight because of the bowling. That way we all have an opportunity to congregate at one place. And our Cares and Prayers group, that is a new group that is forming during the day on Tuesday, January 23rd from 1:30 to 3. All are invited. This is a group for people who just want to sit down and take some time to slow down during the week and raise some of the prayer concerns and some of the people they're thinking about in their own lives, because it gives us an opportunity to talk about what's personally going on in our lives, because one of the blessings of a congregation of our size is we have the opportunity to have a personal relationship with so many people in our congregation, and it's always wonderful when we can take advantage of that. And please don't forget, CEC Game Night will be coming up Friday, January 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. Bring a game. We're asking people to bring a dish such as pizza. Bring something to share with everybody, pretty much a potluck style. There'll be no shortage of food and fun, so please come join us for that. Any other announcements at this time? Oh, don't forget church council next week. I won't forget that big one. We have church council. Covered dish. It'll be a great opportunity to talk about how much our church has been growing, how vibrant it is, and we can see all the ministries that God has touched in the life of our congregation. Any other announcements? All right, let's take a moment to stand and greet one another. Good morning, Ms. Page. Morning, Becky.
Morning, Andy.
Morning, Chloe.
Morning, Norm.
Morning, Joyce.
Morning, Cheryl.
Morning, Tom.
Morning, Millie.
Morning, Delete.
Morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Danielle. How's it going?
At this time, I'd invite you to go back to your seats, and you may remain seated as we join together in the watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 139th chapter of Psalms, verse 17. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them!
Thank you.
Can you please stand for the call of worship? O Lord, you have searched us and known us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up.
You turn our thoughts from far away, even before a word is on our tongues. O Lord, you know it completely.
Where can we go from your Spirit? Where can we flee from your presence?
From our highest to our lowest moments, gracious God, you are always with us.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing He Leadeth Me.
Front of your hymnal for the Epiphany and World Mission Liturgy. We'll be ending on page 65 or 68 after the hymn. praise you, and all your people will give you thanks.
They will speak of the glory of your royal power and tell of your might.
Everyone will know your mighty deeds and the glorious majesty of your kingdom.
Your rule is eternal, and you are king forever.
You, Lord, are righteous in all you do, merciful in all your acts.
You are near to those who call to you, who call to you with sincerity.
You supply the needs of all who honor you. You hear their cries and save them.
We will ever praise you, Lord, that all creation praises your holy name forever.
Hearts and open minds, let us now acknowledge the sin that entangles us and prevents us from doing God's will. Compassionate Lord, you call us to a higher standard than we have achieved. We therefore vow an honest confession of those thoughts, words, and deeds which have entered the mark. Within our families, we have loved imperfectly. Among sisters and brothers in the church, we have not fully walked in the light. Often our congregations have not reflected the rich diversity of people in our communities. In our witness to the world, our lives have not adequately testified to your redeeming power. Forgive us, gracious Lord, for permitting ourselves to be distracted from the goal of our discipleship. Heal the brokenness of our hearts and restore us to you, our first love. Condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. Hear the word of our Lord. I do not condemn you. Go, but do not sin again. Please stand. God created the heavens and stretched them out, fashioned the earth and all that lives there, and gave life and breath to all its people.
And now the Lord God says to his servant, I, the Lord, have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. Through you I will make a covenant with all peoples.
Through you I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind
and set free those who sit in dark prisons.
Thank you.
As we turn to our offering today, I want to share with you a little story about how gratitude and giving can have a ripple effect. Those of you that know me, it's no secret that I'm a huge football fan, and I was delighted to hear this past week that when the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs for the first time since about, I was maybe about yay high, they created the longest drought for not making the playoffs, which now goes to our Cleveland Browns, so another title that bestows them. But when they made the playoffs, the Bills fans were so grateful that the Cincinnati Bengals won the game, the last game of the season that put the Bills into the playoffs, that all their fans donated a tremendous amount. I think it was up to $250,000 into the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals charity. And with that money, he's paid off 100 children who have medical debts from hospitals, from surgeries, from cancers. And it's all served his charity. And just to see how gratitude ripples in our society when we are compassionate people, that is what we remember when we bring our offerings to God, that one person truly can lead to compassion around so many people around them. Let us give thanks to God.
Please rise. Join together in prayer. Dear Savior, help us to remember that you came from humble beginnings. Before we judge others, help us to remember the condemnation you bore for all of us. May this lead us down a path of compassion for all our neighbors. Amen. You may be seated.
In our prayers this week, we continue to give thanks for Amy Pasquinelli, who continues to recover from her stay in the hospital. We give thanks for Janet West, who had a successful heart cath procedure done Monday in Canton. We also give thanks to Linda Bonnell, who had a successful cataract surgery on Friday. In our prayers, we also give thanks for Justin Miller, who it's been one year since his accident, and we give thanks for such a quick recovery and for all the love and support that surrounded him and his family. We also remember in our prayers Roger Gell, who passed away. We ask that we comfort his family with prayers of blessing and thanks, and be with that family in that time of sorrow. Also for Margaret Radabaugh, Doug Miller's aunt, who's having a heart valve replacement, Wednesday, January 17th. We continue to uplift her during this time of surgery. Also, for sore shoulders and sore backs, for everybody who did some shoveling this past day, I realize the day after is always a little bit harder than the day of, so we'll keep you all in prayer, and hopefully there's not too much snow for y'all. And also give thanks, Martin Luther King Jr. Day is tomorrow. Give thanks for all the advocates of peace in our world, for the people who do the hard work of bringing this world together, to reconciling it, to remember that we are all children of God. It is a difficult task, but there are so many people who work hard to make this world a better place, and we are called to remember them. Let us take a moment in silence to invite God into our house of worship. God, we come before you on this cold winter day as it snows outside around us, and we give thanks for the heat that you provide us, for the sanctuary of a church family. Gracious God, we realize that sometimes things happen that are out of our control, but sometimes some cold, blistery days remind us to take heart of what we have been given, to have gratitude for all the gifts and all the blessings you bestow upon us. Gracious God, we have so much to be grateful for. So many people in our congregation who had successful surgeries, procedures, and treatments. We are so thankful that you are able to work through the doctors and nurses and all the staff to provide these little miracles for us every single day. And gracious God, we realize there are many in our congregation who could not be with us today, whether it be the weather, whether it be sickness or a combination of things. God, help them to see that even though they are not physically present with us, we are spiritually present with them. And we are so thankful that we have so many people in our congregation to be thankful for. And God, we remember that we make mistakes. We fall down. We don't always do the right thing. But you, God, guide us on a righteous path. And you point us to Jesus Christ, the leader of love, who shows us that it is light and not darkness that defines us. And we give thanks for all the leaders in our communities, all the prophets, all the people that carry the message of Christ, who teach us it is such an important part of our faith to live it out and to share God's love with every single person we encounter, regardless of their race, their color, their creed, or gender. For we are all children of God, and we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
The boy Samuel. The first scripture. First Samuel.
Chapter 3.
1-10.
Go for it.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of God was rare. There was not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in the usual place the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back to lie down." So he went to lie down again. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel."
Thank you, Paige. Our gospel today comes from the first chapter of John, the 43rd verse to the 51st. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your mind, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment.
Good morning. So we're going to talk about heroes today. Do any of you have any heroes? Who's a hero, Nick? He already beat me to the punch. Martin Luther King, that's a good one. Paige, how about you? Firefighters, those are good heroes, especially when it's cold outside. They're the ones willing to go out and put out the fire. But we're going to talk about one of my personal heroes, who's actually the same as Nick, is Martin Luther King Jr. You maybe saw him on my tie, but he was somebody who was a pastor, and he was dedicated to providing people with peace, and he believed everybody should be treated equally. So we're going to read a story about him today. And we're celebrating his day tomorrow, so that's why you get to sleep in from school, is because he's a peace warrior. So this is a picture book of Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of America's greatest leaders. He was a powerful speaker and he spoke out against laws which kept black people out of many schools and jobs. He led protests and marches, demanding fair laws for all people. Martin Luther King Jr. was born on January 15, 1929, in Atlanta, Georgia. Martin's father was a pastor. His mother had been a teacher. Martin had an older sister, Willie Christine, and a younger brother, Alfred Daniel. Young Martin liked to play baseball, football, and basketball. He liked to ride his bicycle and to sing. He often sang in his father's church. There's his brother, and there's his sister, and there's him singing right in the middle. Young Martin played in his backyard with his friends. One day he was told that two of his friends would no longer play with them because they were white and he was black. Martin cried. He didn't understand why the color of his skin should matter to anyone. Martin's mother told him people were brought in chains to America and sold as slaves. She told him that long before Martin was born, the slaves had been set free. However, there were still some people who did not see why they needed to treat people fairly. In Atlanta, where Martin lived, and elsewhere in the United States, there were whites-only signs. Black people were not allowed in some parks, pools, hotels, restaurants, and even schools. Blacks were kept out of many jobs. Martin learned to read at home before he was old enough to start school. All through his childhood, he read books about black leaders. Martin was a good student. He finished high school 2 years early and was just 15 when he entered Morehouse College in Atlanta. At college, Martin decided to become a minister. After Martin graduated from Morehouse, he studied for a doctorate at Boston University. While he was there, he met Coretta Scott. She was studying music. They fell in love and they got married. In 1954, Martin Luther King Jr. became his first job as a pastor in Montgomery, Alabama. The next year, Rosa Parks, a black woman, was arrested in Montgomery. She had been sitting just behind the white-only section on a bus. When all the seats in the section were taken, the driver told her to get up so a white man could have her seat. Rosa Parks refused. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. led a protest. Blacks throughout the city refused to ride buses. Dr. King said, "There comes a time when people get tired of being kicked about." One night, while Dr. King was at a meeting, someone threw a bomb into his house. Martin's followers were angry. They wanted to fight. Martin told them to go home peacefully. "We must love our white brothers," he said. "We must meet hate with love." The bus protest lasted almost a year. When it ended, there were no more white-only sections on buses. Dr. King decided to move back to Atlanta in 1960. There he continued to lead peaceful protests against white-only waiting rooms, lunch counter, and restrooms. He led many marches for freedom. In 1963, Dr. King led the biggest march of all, the March on Washington. More than 200,000 black and white people followed him. "I have a dream," he said in his speech. "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The next year, in 1964, Dr. King was awarded one of the greatest honors any person can win, the Nobel Peace Prize. The country was changing. New laws were passed. Blacks could go to the same school as whites. They could go to the same stores, restaurants, and hotels. White-only signs were against the law. Dr. King told his followers to protest peacefully, but there were some riots and some violence. Then in April 1968, Dr. King went to Memphis, Tennessee. He planned to march so black and white garbage workers would get the same pay for their work. On April 4th in Memphis, Dr. King stood outside his motel room. Another man, James Earl Ray, was hiding nearby, and he killed Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of a world free of hate, prejudice, and violence. Carved on the stone which marks his grave are the words, "I'm free at last." And his dream and legacy goes on through each one of us. And even though he died, he taught us all how to be good. good people to everyone, regardless of how we look, where we were born, what color our skin is. So what did you guys learn from that book? Don't judge other people. That's a great lesson. And carry that with you, because Martin Luther King told everybody that, guess how we should live our life? Not with hatred, but with love. And when we love people, we can do great things for everybody around us. So let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we are thankful for Paige and Nick today. We ask that you bless them as they go throughout their school weeks, and you bless all of our kids and all the people in our congregation who are in need of love. Help us to be people who do not judge, who look for friends and neighbors and all people, because we are stronger as children of God if we all realize that we are all children of one God, loved equally and created equally. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to remain seated as we join together in song. Together in a moment of prayer. God, as we listen to your words today, help us to be people with sympathetic ears, and help us to be people who live our life with empathy and compassion for all. And may your words reach our hearts and our minds as we look to God in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. So we get an interesting story today. Philip, one of the disciples, was so excited to introduce Jesus to his friend Nathanael. He introduces him as the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael responds like many crazy relatives do at a family gathering. You know, the one that's had one too many. And he goes, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And I know you all are smiling because that's a knowing smile. You all know that one relative who can just make everybody around your face go red, because they are not afraid to say what's on their mind, are they? And Nathanael was no exception. He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And we've all got that one relative who says exactly what they are thinking. And furthermore, we have all seen or face these accusations at one time or another. We have all been prejudged. Perhaps there was someone in your past you dated whose family saw you as nothing but a bad influence. Or maybe it was the other way around, when you brought somebody home and your father just kind of gave you that, what are you doing, look? I mean, we've all had those moments. And there's times where people prejudge us as nothing but a bad influence. Perhaps there was a friend or relative you saw walk down the aisle with someone, and you kind of scratched your head, and you went, really? Really? That's your choice? And I remember my wedding very distinctly, and there were people going, what is that girl doing with that guy? And you know what the sad part was? It was all from my side of the family. Those were the ones who were saying that. So that's how I knew I had married up. I'd done a good job there. And for some reason, she's still with me. Bless her heart. We've all faced that moment where people have said, really, who are you? What are you standing for? And we know the prejudgment that Jesus faced was from being from Nazareth. He was thought of as a country hick. How could he be this educated rabbi, this Messiah, if he was just from Podunk Nazareth? And it made me think about how we think about that in our own society. Let me share with you a biography excerpt from someone famous from our area and see if you can guess who it is. Let me give you a little excerpt, what's on the book jacket, about them. He grew up in a rough town in the central Appalachian region of Ohio, surrounded by a long-standing culture of fighting and drugs. Raised in this environment by a single mom, his dad left him at the young age of 3 to reside in the Ohio State Penitentiary. He grew up fighting and he grew up wild. His future seemed predestined to end in the coal mines or in prison. Anybody want to guess who that was?
Cody.
Was that?
Cody
Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt is a UFC fighter from Denison, very famous. And I think it was actually your mom who shared that on Facebook. And I was just surprised by that was how they described this area that where we grew up, Denison, Yerkesville. I think he went to school at Claymont. And I don't know about you, I haven't been invited to many fistfights while I've been here. So maybe I'm not one of your own until I... But it's amazing how people can put a judgment across the whole culture, even though it might just be a microcosm of what that culture is. We can all face that prejudgment. And I'm sure Cody, throughout his career as a UFC fighter, faced that judgment. You're just from that little podunk town in Ohio. What are you doing? And he still found a way to be one of the best at his profession. And Jesus faced that same discrimination. What are you from Nazareth? Who are you? Because Jesus came from the wrong side of town for the elites of his day. And John knew this. This is why this is in the first chapter of John, because John uses the character Nathanael symbolically. Nathanael means the gift of God. And if you look that up, Nathanael stood as a symbol for the true Jewish community, for the ones who were in the knowledge, the ones who were in the knows, the ones who had done enough, paid enough to be a good Jew. So Nathanael was not only a real person, but he stood as a symbol to what was true. And it was Jesus who symbolically said, no, we're not just one group of people. We're all people. God's love transcends all those titles you can come up with. And it is amazing how Jesus saw right through that. And we talk about that as we deal with some of the political venom that's in our culture right now. A lot of debate about what the president is and isn't saying right now. And one of my favorite quotes in response to this was from Senator John McCain, who said, respect for the God-given dignity of every human being, no matter their race, ethnicity, or other circumstances, or their birth, is the essence of American patriotism. To oppose otherwise is to oppose the very idea of being American. And I appreciate his words because we as Christians have to carry that belief, that no matter what track of life you come from, what circumstance you have been born in, you are a child of God, and you are worthy of God's love. You are all worthy of God's love. And that's the cool thing about this story. Jesus saw Philip exactly as he was, and Jesus sees each one of us exactly as we are. And we cannot hide behind our labels when we approach Jesus. For Jesus does not care what race, gender, ethnicity, or even religion we claim to check off. Because Jesus cares about what's in our hearts. And brothers and sisters, what is guiding our hearts? Because Jesus faced the same prejudices that we see alive in our world today. For many, they balked at the idea that this poor kid from Nazareth could be the Messiah. He didn't look the part. And Martin Luther King Jr. carried the message for Christ as a prophet by proclaiming Christ's vision with his dream, that one day my children will live in a nation where they are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. By the content of their character. And Christ calls us to look beyond our own personal prejudices and look to the hearts of the people around us. For when we look at people the way Jesus looked at Nathanael, with compassion, we see that person that we thought was beneath us, that country hick, was created in the same image of God as we are. And Christ carried a dream that God's love belongs to all of God's people. And the challenge now lies with us to turn that dream that God has given us and make it into a reality. Amen. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for all the people that have carried your message to remind us that we are agents of peace, love, and reconciliation. We realize that all of us are capable of judging people, of discriminating, and help us to see that before we reach to do that, that person is made in the same image of God as we are, and that we are all equal, that we are all loved, and that this world will be a much stronger place when we're all working together to accomplish the goals that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing Blessed Assurance.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.